concept of the ascension is a difficult one for us today. Living in the 21st century, we have a different conception, visual and spiritual and experiential. We have a different conception of the universe. We have a different cosmology. In the ancient world, they understood the earth as being a flat plain with mountains all around it. And over it was set a dome with windows in the dome, and rain would be when the windows would be open and water would fall through. And above the dome was water, and then heaven was above that. And that was the abode of God. And that was how they viewed the universe. We know that's how they viewed the universe. That's the description we have in Scripture. That's the visual description that we have and we found drawn by people of that era. We know that's how they viewed the universe. We view it differently. We have flown around the planet. We've traveled around it on water. We have spacecraft that have orbited the planet. We've gone to other planets, the moon. We've sent probes to Mars and to Venus and to Mercury and to Jupiter and to Saturn and Uranus and Neptune. And we even got one going to Pluto right now. Space probes leaving the solar system for many millennia journey. The universe is a very different place than the simple description. And heaven, as described here in the Acts of the Apostles and as illustrated and alluded to here in the hymn, is described as being up. In Acts chapter 1, when he said this, as they were watching, he, Jesus, was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So the image, the experience was what they expected. To get to heaven, what did you do? You go up. To get to heaven, you go up. We see that in the Old Testament. Elijah gets taken up into heaven. Jacob's ladder goes up into heaven, and the angels are going up and coming down on it. The universe is described with heaven being up. And of course, being somewhat of a curious kid, what I always wanted to know was, if the ascension had happened the day when Jesus was lifted up into the air, would he have to get air clearance from DFW Tower to make that ascension? Would he have to contact NASA to get approval to go into orbit and to go beyond? No. No. Their image, their understanding of the universe is different from ours, but not different from ours. We still talk in English. We still talk about the sun rising and setting, even though we know that it's the earth rotating on its axis. We still say the sun rises and the sun sets, even though we know that it's this planet rotating that causes that apparent visual experience. So we speak about the universe even in language today that connects us to that ancient understanding of the earth being stationary and flat and the sun and the moon going around us. Where is heaven? If it's not physically up, where is heaven? Where is Jesus today? What is described here is shrouded in interesting language. In the ancient world, there was a type of literature known as apocalyptic literature. That's a big word, apocalyptic. And what it is discussion and language about things from heaven, or things of heaven, things of mystery, things of wonder. And any time something is given by God or comes from God or goes to God or has a spiritual aspect with it, you've got a cloud. When Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, a cloud descends and the voice of God speaks forth from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased." There are other experiences in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where God is known, the spiritual is experienced, and there is a cloud present. And that cloud is a symbol, a literary symbol saying, mysterious scene next. Special effect takes place here. I mean, if this were a screenplay, special effect occurs here. Or technobabble is to be inserted here by the technical writer. We don't understand it. We can't really comprehend it. We can think about it. We can imagine it with our brain. But we don't really understand what it is. So special effect occur here. That's what the cloud stands for in Jewish apocalyptic literature. Something they could not comprehend. They could not quite grasp. But they knew to fit it in their cosmology, it had to do with going up or coming down from heaven. So, if we take that little piece of that little nugget and insert it, that little way of thinking, insert it into here, what we have is Jesus disappearing in the cloud. It's Jesus being taken from them in some mysterious way. As I grew up, I kind of adopted the idea that Jesus was beamed up. Beam me up, Scotty. Kind of idea. I loved Star Trek The Next Generation. And in Star Trek The Next Generation, they had something called the holodeck, which was a section of the ship in which they would generate light fields that had a physical sensation to it due to force fields. And they could engage in a virtual reality there. And anything taken off the holodeck that was hollow matter would disappear once you took it off the deck. But while it was there, it had substance and force to it. And there was one episode in which they got confused as to whether or not they were on the holodeck or on the rest of the ship. They didn't know. Were they on the ship in reality or were they on the holodeck itself? And it was so craftily done. This holodeck simulation of the Enterprise was so craftily created on the holodeck that they could not tell that they were on the fake deck and not the real one. And there's a scene at the very end of that episode where one of the principal characters decides to find out if he's really back in the real world. And he says, "Computer, exit." Because if he had done that on the holodeck, suddenly a piece of the reality around him would disappear and there'd be the doors and they would open. And then he could leave and go back into reality. And he was nervous that this wasn't really real, but ephemeral. A play of lights and illusions. What do we have here? Is it real or is it a play of light and illusion? Is this ascension of Jesus real or is it a play on light and an illusion? Is it a story told to make a point or to express a purpose? Did the disciples experience seeing Jesus lifted up into the air because that was what they needed to believe that Jesus had gone to heaven? That's an interesting question. And he disappeared immediately into the cloud. I mean, it doesn't say that he goes up and they see him disappear in the far distant sky. If you read it closely, it says, As they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. A cloud took him out of their sight. Maybe what's being described here is they could not comprehend Jesus being ascended in any other way than being lifted up. We use the word ascension, but maybe we ought to translate that slightly differently these days. Instead of ascended, we might say transcended. Jesus was transported to a different reality, a different state of being, a different place than the one that was here. He transcends, no longer bound by physical constraints. He transcends them now and can be everywhere at once. At the right hand of God the Father and at your very side. All at once. This idea of the ascension plagues many Christians, especially modern Christians, because it conflicts with their cosmology. Even though we still sometimes deal with fossils like sunrise and sunset, it seems like a play with lights and trickery. And yet what it is, essentially, is the Hebrew-born writers saying, insert special effect here. We don't really understand what this ascension is, but by inserting the concept of the cloud, we're saying something mystical beyond our understanding and comprehension happened. And Jesus was removed from their sight. But not from their experience. Because they knew Jesus was really present. And they experienced that presence again and again and again. In the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. In the continued presence of Jesus at the table of the Lord when they would remember Him and be remembered to Him by partaking of the bread and the cup. Jesus' presence is never doubted in the New Testament. It is affirmed repeatedly again and again. Even though He ascends, transcends, special effect occur, cloud appear, whatever, He is still with them. And they knew it. They experienced it. And it says here, expect the return in the same way. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven, i.e., in a mysterious, God-filled way. Special effect occur here. Jesus will return. So why are you standing looking up into heaven? He'll return in the same mysterious way as He went. Not hanging down from the sky so much as coming back in a mysterious, spiritual way, apocalyptic way. Every time we meet at the table of the Lord, every time we come to this table and we partake of the cup and we partake of the bread. Every time we do this, we are indeed experiencing the presence of the living Christ. We are having that special effect insert here experience. We don't understand it. We can shroud it in all sorts of interesting language. Some churches say transubstantiation. Some churches say consubstantiation. It's one of the reasons why you lay down an extra cloth, by the way. Some churches say transubstantiation. Some churches say consubstantiation. They don't really know what we're talking about. It's language, like ascension and cloud. It's language to shroud the mystery of what's going on here, which is one of the reasons why I like the United Methodist Church's position. That this is a holy mystery, which we don't pretend to understand. We shroud, insert special effect here. We call it a holy
mystery,
that Jesus comes to be with us. We don't deserve it. How dare we gather at the table, and yet Christ calls us to come and partake and experience the presence of the risen and ascended Lord. We shroud it in language like ascension. We don't understand it, but we are invited to receive nevertheless and come into contact again and be remembered too again, and to remember here and here and here, and in our hands and in our feet, head, heart, bowel or gut, hands and feet, eyes, in every aspect of our being, we are called to remember and be remembered too this risen and ascended Christ. And some of the language we use sounds archaic. Eat and drink the body and blood of the Lord. Ugh. It's special effect language. Insert special effect here. We don't know how. We simply know that it is true. Through 2,000 years of experience, that when we eat and drink, when we partake, when we come to the table of the Lord in this means of grace, we are reconnected to, remembered to, and Christ comes and is remembered within us. We are remembered to the very mysterious reality of the presence of Jesus. So I invite you to come to the table of the Lord today. Despite the mess, give thanks and praise that the mess, I'm good at all my feet, that the mess of our very lives, like this mess here, doesn't keep us from the table. Indeed, it's the reason we should come to the table. We've made a mess of our lives. We need Christ in our life again, anew, and afresh, to clean us up, to transform us, to transcend us, to raise us up, whatever that means, to new heights with Him. So whatever mess your life may be in, I can't use this next service, I have to really spill it. Whatever mess your life may have, this is just for you. Whatever mess your life may be in, doesn't matter. Allow God's presence to lift you up spiritually, metaphorically, lift you up, transcend you, transform you. Insert special effect here. By God's grace, allow God's presence to transform you. And give thanks and praise that even though we do not understand, we truly cannot comprehend, nevertheless, Christ still offers, and we can receive the blessed grace of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.